Let's take our Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. I want to spend a few minutes here tonight. The Lord being my helper. I'd like to, we've read most of the chapter. We'll be going back into the part about the storm. But let's read tonight, starting in verse number 15, and then we'll go over and read our text verse. Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God this evening. Good to see the choir full on Sunday night, and I know that the church is not full, but there is one thing more important than the church being full of people. I'd like to see it full of people, don't get me wrong. That's that we'd be full of God, that the Lord could have His way, amen, and in our hearts and in our lives. The Bible said in verse 15, "And when it was evening, His disciples came to Him, saying, This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals," or something to eat. "But Jesus said unto them, They need not depart. Give you them to eat." Y'all give them something to eat. "And they said unto Him, We have here but 5 loaves. And 2 fishes. And you know, in another text it says, "What are they among so many?" The Bible said here, He said, "Bring them hither." Jesus said, "Bring them hither to Me." And He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and they took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, He blessed, and He brake, and He gave the loaves to His disciples, and His disciples to the multitude, and they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full, and they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside the women and children. Now we're not going to read all the story right now, but Jesus tells the disciples to go to the other side. In the fourth watch of the night, they encounter a storm. Jesus comes to them in the midst of the storm and the dark of the night, and they were afraid. And Peter said, "Lord, if it's You, bid me to come unto Thee." And then in verse 29, He said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him, saying, "Of a truth, Thou art the Son of God." You can be seated tonight. Please pray with us and pray for us. Father, thank You tonight for the privilege to stand here in this place. Thank You, Lord, for the privilege, the blessed privilege to experience in our hearts what we've experienced tonight. Listen to these wonderful songs, Lord, the wonderful meeting. Thinking, Lord, about that day when we'll bow, Lord, possibly for the first time in our life, thank You the way that You ought to be thanked. Praise You, Lord, the way You ought to be praised. Lord, down here we try, but we seem like come up so short. I pray, Lord, that You'd help us to look for and long for that day. Tonight, as we look in the Word of God, Lord, speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We've been looking in 1 John, and it's kind of, I guess some would say odd, but I'm going to say it's God, how the Lord has led my heart. We've been looking at the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. That's where we started looking at on Wednesday night in 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 6. "Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Just as sure as there's a spirit of truth and He is holy, He is the spirit of God, there is a spirit of error. There is a spirit that is untrue, a spirit that is unholy, a spirit that is against us as the people of God." we looked on Wednesday night, and it amazed my heart when I looked at the first mention of truth in the Word of God. And we found it over in Genesis chapter number 24, where that Abraham had sent out his servant to seek out a bride for Isaac. I will say this tonight, it goes with the service. It's the grace of God, you and I heard the truth. You know what I believe, Brother Thurman? I believe even the natural man, he understands when he's hearing something that's true. Before I was ever saved, when I heard that Jesus loved me, I did believe that. When I heard that he died for me, I knew that was truth, and I did believe that as much as a man can believe in his mind. But I tell you, it's a glad day when that truth sinks deeper than the mind and gets down in your heart and changes your life. I began to think as I was looking in towards the weekend, I said, Lord, when is the first time truth is mentioned in the New Testament? And we read it in your hearing tonight. It's right here in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 33. But what I want to say to you tonight is that over there when John is talking about the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, what John is magnifying is the fact that Jesus has come in the flesh and that he truly is the Son of God. He's not just a good preacher or a good prophet or a good man, but he is God incarnate. And even in the first century, there were those that had made up their mind that that was not Jesus, that he was not the Son of God. And the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they hated him. They knew they understood well that he was claiming to be equal with God when he said he was the Son of God. You remember he told Philip, if you've seen me, he said, you've seen the Father. And I believe with all of my heart when Jesus said, I and my Father are one, I believe what he said. Amen. I don't believe we need to look any further. But I thought it was really, really something that the first time truth is mentioned in the New Testament, it coincides, goes hand in hand with the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. You and I may not understand the need to put an emphasis on that, but I'm going to tell you something right now. There's all kinds of religious cults in the world that would love to grab your children, would love to grab my children, would love to grab your grandchildren. And you know what they'll do? They'll start out with a Bible. But beloved, they'll be preaching another gospel, another Jesus, another spirit, because they do not believe that Jesus is who he said he was. John had it right. He said, even now there are many antichrists that have gone out into the world, these that do not believe Jesus is the Son of God. This morning we looked at the preacher. We looked at John the Baptist and said, of a truth, he is the Son of God. Tonight I want to look at a couple of thoughts just quickly in your hearing and show you that of a truth, Jesus is the Son of God. And I want you to go back in your minds. How many can remember when you didn't have the things that you have right now? Can you remember that? I want to say this. One of the things that's wrong in our generation, we have young people sometimes that get married and they think they ought to have in 6 months what mom and dad has took 50 years to accumulate. And they don't understand the years and the labor and the work that went into that. Amen. But listen tonight, I believe it's important. The first thing I'm going to talk about is provision. I can remember it well. I can remember living in a house where my wife and I started housekeeping. Listen to me. We burned 12 cord of firewood in one winter. Does anybody know what 12 cord of firewood looks like? A cord is 4 foot high, 4 foot thick from front to back, and 8 foot long. You take 12 of them, Brother Houston, it'd reach from here to the vestibule out through there. And you could get warm one side at a time. That first year we moved into that house and we after a little while, I said, we've got to do something, honey. Because when the wind blowed, the curtains did too. And so we put plastic over the inside. And that worked pretty good. Next year, I'm telling you, I'm a rocket scientist. Olivia's not the only one with a scientific brain. I said, Brother Gary, if it worked that good putting it on the inside, we'll put it on the inside and the outside. We started patching holes. The house had no insulation in it whatsoever. You could walk on the linoleum in the kitchen, and in the freezing winter, the frost up underneath of it would freeze. Has anybody ever lived in a place like this besides me? And it would crunch. I mean, it would sounded like you were walking on cornflakes as you went across the kitchen floor. Amen. You say, Preacher, I don't know what that's got to do with anything. I just want to say, He's been good to me. And of a truth, when I think about His provision, I want to say He is the Son of God. Here He runs into a multitude that were hungry. Can I say something to you tonight? I want to make a spiritual application. There's a multitude of people in the world that are starving to death tonight for the truth. They don't know the truth concerning Jesus, concerning the gospel, concerning heaven, concerning hell. That man that blew himself up, he thought he was automatically going to be in heaven, amen, with a bunch of virgins running around him. I'm telling you, beloved, people are deceived. And Jesus looks at a multitude. I see a multitude that were hungry. And I see that Jesus is not going to use what He does not have. He's going to use what He has to feed them. Listen, we need to quit making our excuses. God's not interested in what you and I do not have. He's interested in what we have. He wants us to take what we have and put it in His hands and let Him use it. Because there's a multitude that need the gospel. A multitude that are hungry tonight. I want you to see the miracle that was wrought with His hands. The Bible said here, they say unto Him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And He said, bring them hither to me. I want you to think about something tonight. What would happen in our families? What would happen in our church if we just put it all in His hands? What would happen? What would happen when we come to a place where we don't know how the need's going to be met if we just put it in His hands? I really believe that there are times, listen to me carefully, when we're too blessed. There are times, beloved, listen, that you and I get our eyes on the blessing and get our eyes off of the blesser. I don't believe the blessings of God were ever intended for us to take our eyes off of Him. As someone said, sometimes we're like a hog eating acorns. Or if you come from up north, acorns. We never look up and see where the blessings are falling from. But I want you to know tonight, if we're going to say of a truth He's the Son of God, then we need to understand tonight that if we have a peanut butter cracker, He gave it to us. If we have a peanut butter sandwich, He gave it to us. And if we have a glass of milk to go with us, He's been doubly good to us. Say amen. I'm just saying tonight, listen, God is saying, I'm the one that's providing. I told Brother Brian some time back, it's been a long time back. I said, Brother Brian, God put it in my heart a long time ago, not just to stop and thank Him for my food, but thank Him for my appetite. Food means nothing if you don't have an appetite. Say amen. We need to stop and thank Him. And the Word of God said, of a truth, Thou art the Son of God. We see that in His provision. There's a multitude that's hungry. There's a miracle that's wrought. Jesus, Brother Brian and I studied this out together through text message back and forth one time. And I picture 5,000 people, Brother Houston. Man, I pictured like it taking all of this property. This property's 8 acres, I believe. But when you study it out, if you just gave a 3-foot circle, if you gave a 3-foot circle for each individual, About 3 acres will take care of it. And I believe there needed to be a 3-foot circle. They sat down in companies. You say, preacher, why do you believe there had to be a little room between them? Because the disciples went through them, serving them. They're sitting there in the grass. And so what I'm getting at here is, listen, Brother Brian brought up the idea. He said, preacher, there at the Sea of Galilee, quite possibly it was an amphitheater type setting where Jesus was down there and people were sitting on the hillside so that that would give them the opportunity to see what he was doing. As he broke the bread and he broke the fish and he blessed it and he just kept filling up, filling up, filling up, filling up baskets, and they're eating, and they're getting full, and when they get done, there's 12 baskets left over. You know what I believe? I believe we're living in a generation that needs to see his hands, that needs to understand the hand of God. And they might say, of a truth, this is the Son of God. Of a truth, this is the Son of God. You can meet men in their pride. Men that say, I earned this. I built this. Can I ask you something? Who gave you those hands? Who gave you that good mind that you have? Who gave you those feet to go and come? Who gave you that ability, amen, to make a living? I tell you who did. The one that of a truth is the Son of God. I thought about this, and I'll go on to the next thing tonight. There's a multitude that's hungry as we look at the provision. There's a miracle in his hands that's being wrought. But I want you to think about the meditation. How many believes that after this is all over, it had an effect on the multitude? How many believes that maybe once in a while there was a teenager or a child that said something like this? Mommy, remember that day? Now listen, you say, preacher, the Bible said there was 5,000 men. That's besides the women and children. I wonder if someday maybe a brother didn't get discouraged a little bit. Maybe another brother said, hey, remember when? Remember when Jesus took care of that need? How many can go back in your mind tonight when you didn't know how you were going to take two ends and bring them together and God came through for you? That's what God wants us to dwell on. Not forget it. That we might be able to live saying, of a truth, this is the Son of God. The one that meets needs. The meditation in their heart. Thinking about what they had seen. Thinking about what they had experienced. I don't know about you tonight, but if I went down there to the restaurant today, Brother Wayne, and somebody just brought out one steak, it's right there on a platter, and they started cutting that steak. They served everybody in that restaurant steak, and that steak was that big to start with, and 12 times that big when they got done. And fed everybody in that restaurant. I believe everybody in that restaurant would be going around Kingsport saying, of the truth. Say amen. Somebody was in there besides the chef. It was the Christ, the Son of the living God. There's a provision that would cause us to say, I could spend hours tonight. My wife will say amen. I could spend hours telling you how good God is. I could spend absolutely hours telling you story after story after story of what it means to walk by faith. What it means, beloved, listen, to know a God that cares for you and cares for your family and that meets the needs. I thank him tonight. Let me give you this and I'm done tonight. Let's look at this last story of a truth. Thou art the Son of God. We've looked at his provision. Let's look at his power. How many believes tonight that God has power enough to do what needs to be done? We're praying for lost people. I asked Coulter today. He called me right before church tonight. And I said, Coulter, please remember Matthew. Here's what he said. He said, brother, I've been praying ever since you asked me to. He said, I'm not sure, but I don't think there's a day gone by That's what we need. Understanding that the God on the other end of that line has power to do what needs to be done. Here in the Bible, you see this storm. And let me give you just a couple of things quickly tonight. The power of God that's going to be manifested in this storm. I want to give you this tonight. There's three things quickly. Number one, it was a storm under God's direction. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship. These men were not in this storm because they were disobedient. These men were in this storm because they did exactly what God wanted them to do. Now, this crowd that's on the television, they're not going to preach like that. But they're in this storm, beloved, not because they would not do what God wanted them to do, but because they did exactly what God wanted them to do. I thank God for that tonight. It was a storm that was under God's direction. In other words, God has a plan. I thank the Lord for that tonight, don't you? I praise Him for that tonight. God has a plan for your life and for my life. And sometimes, beloved, that plan includes some storms along the way. It was not only a storm under God's direction, but it was a storm for God's disciples. I want you to look with me at a text tonight in Matthew chapter number 8. I had never caught this before. Never, till this afternoon, had I caught this. Look in Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 23 with me, please. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea. Let me just stop and say this. There's probably going to be more than one storm in your life. There's probably going to be more than one storm in my life. The Bible said here there arose a great tempest in the sea, inasmuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Now, if you look up there in verse number 20, the Bible said the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Brother Steve, he was tired. He went about doing good, but he was God, but he was God in the flesh, and the flesh gets tired. Jesus told his disciples in one place, the flesh, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now watch this. And the disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us! We perish! It was a terrible storm. He said unto them, why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. I've caught something here. I hope you catch it tonight. He's got power over the storm. We all knew that. But look at the next verse. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Brother Steve, it goes from what manner of man is this, to of a truth, this is the Son of God. It goes from a question mark to an exclamation point. Now, next time we're in the storm, beloved, God may be just trying to move us from a question mark in our life to an exclamation point where we can say, God is good on the mountain. God is good in the daylight. God is good in the night. God is good in the storm. And of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Nobody likes storms. How many would rather go around them than through them? I would. None of us know before morning what when our phone rings. None of us know what we're going to hear on the other end of that line. But what we need to remember is of a truth, He is the Son of God. He didn't change just because we entered into a storm. It was a storm for God's disciples. I'll give you this tonight in closing. It was a storm that magnified God's deliverance. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Let me just share something with you. I see God's plan under God's direction. I see God's purpose under the storm was for God's disciples. But I see God's peace. It was magnified as God would deliver these men in the storm. if you and I listen to the devil in the storm, he will convince us that the storm is to destroy us. Have you heard what I just said? If we listen to the devil in the storm, he will convince us. There's all kinds of storms. You can have a storm physically. You can have a storm financially. You can have a storm spiritually. You can have a storm emotionally. I spoke with a sweet lady yesterday, my wife and I. She spent about 15 minutes. We allowed her to talk. What about this? And if this had been different, if they had done this, if they hadn't have done this. That's all it was about. And I just stopped. The lady's so precious. She's so sweet. And I said, honey, your husband's in heaven. I said, would he want you dwelling on those things? She said, no. I said, your Savior's in heaven. I said, would he want you dwelling on those things? She said, no. And I used that favorite verse of Brother Brian's over there in Philippians 4:8. Things that are lovely, things that are of good report, things that are honest. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And I believe God is helping that sweet, sweet lady, because we have an enemy that wants to keep us tied up in the negative. He wants us to keep us tied up in the darkness. He don't want us to believe there's any light at the end of the tunnel. But I'm telling you, God wants us to know and have peace in our heart that of a truth, he's the Son of God. You say, preacher, what do you mean he magnifies God's deliverance? Somebody tell me in verse number 22 what Jesus said. He told them to get in the ship. He told them to go before him to the other side. Now, beloved, listen. Jesus comes to them in the fourth watch of the night. From what I've been able to study, there's four watches. It starts at 6 to 9, 9 to 12, 12 to 3, and 3 to 6. So he comes after 3 a.m. Now, if I'm understanding the story right, it's evening when he sends the multitude away and he tells the disciples, I believe it's still daylight. I studied a little bit and found out that the Sea of Galilee is a little bit over 8 miles wide. The Bible talks about being in the midst of it. So it's taken them, Brother Steve, 8 or 9 hours to get about 4 miles. You say, preacher, that's ridiculous. Not if you're in a storm. There's a whole lot of us, Brother Ralph, we didn't get near that far in 8 or 9 years. Let alone 8 or 9 hours. Why? Because the winds are contrary and they're trying to hold you back, because that wind and that enemy does not want you to get to the other side. But here comes one walking on the waves. He's the deliverer. I like the song. I heard it years ago. The McCamey sang it. When the waves of trouble are over my head, they're under his feet. Oh, if we could remember that tonight. And they're going to get over our heads sometime. Beloved, we don't know how big our God is until we face something we can't handle. Ethan knows that God's a big God tonight because he faced something he couldn't handle. He faced hell without a Savior. He faced his sin and knew he couldn't do anything about his sin. And so Jesus come by and gave him peace in his heart, because he was in a storm and God would deliver him. I just want to say to you tonight, I'm going to the other side. I'm going to make it. Because I'm not going before Jesus. Jesus has went before me. He was the first fruits of them that sleep. And by the grace of God, I'm going to make it. You say, preacher, why did you say by the grace of God? Because that's how I got saved. By the grace of God, I'm going to make it. The storm is under God's direction. It's his plan. It's for God's disciples. It has a purpose in it. God wants us to know of a truth. He is the Son of God. If we listen to the devil, Brother Steve, you're a good man. You're God's man. You're a dear friend. You fall like that, I'm telling you, there are days when I just get up and I haven't looked at my phone. I haven't turned the television on. I don't know what the weather's going to be, but I know what the weather's going to be. Does anybody know what I just said? Hurting. Because arthritis can tell the weather. You say, preacher, you complaining? No. But I'm telling you that just as sure as I'm standing here tonight and there's a voice of God that wants me to cry, I'm the truth! He's the Son of God! That wants me to understand, beloved, that this storm is not to destroy me. That's what the devil wants me to believe. But this storm is to develop me. Those things that come into my life, listen to me carefully, are to make me more like Jesus. If we're not careful tonight, and the enemy goes to whispering, what does he whisper? He whispers lies. He whispers falsehoods. If we're not careful, we'll listen to him. We better not listen to him. We better say, Lord, you know what? I don't know what you're up to, but I know you're up to. Lord, I don't know why, but I know this. I love you. And you promised me, Lord, that everything that came and went in my life was working to good. Working out a purpose to those who are called. I'm glad I've been called tonight. I'm glad that God knows that in the storm, we can still cry, we can still worship, just like these men did, and say of a truth, Thou art the Son of God. I believe some of the sweetest times in our life as Christians are not on the mountain, but are in the valley. I had a wreck several years ago. It was a bad wreck. It broke my back down low when I was young. I was deer hunting Gary Joe and a tree stand fell with me. It broke and fell with me. I fell 23 feet. I could lay my hand from where I hit the ground. My backside put an impression in that mountain dirt that deep. And I didn't weigh 200 none of your business pounds then. I could lay my hand on a rock half as big as that communion table, just right there on the bank. My teeth came together so hard when I hit the ground. If my tongue would have been stuck out, I know I would have bit it off. You say, preacher, I don't know what you're trying to say. Here's what I'm trying to say. He's developing me. He's not trying to destroy me. Is that about right, Miss Eve? 10. Yeah, about 15 years ago, 13, 14 years ago. You say, preacher, what happened the next time I broke my back up between my shoulder blades? So I got it high and low now. According to the chiropractor, Arthur's joining up high and low. You say, preacher, you want to have a pity party? No. You see, without the storm, I'd have never known how good my family could be, how good my Savior could be. Never had a nurse, never had an orderly to bathe me. My children pulled me up in the bed and bathed me from the waist up, hang my head off of the bed and take a water and a pail and wash my hair. Hurting so bad I couldn't think of my name. But thanking God I had a family that cared for me. Got in the ambulance with the fella and on the way to the hospital. told Miss Eve, I told the man there, the ambulance, I said, I'm going to go home. I said, this is my wife. I said, she'll take me home. He said, you don't need to go home. You need to go to the hospital. Got that big yellow board out there. I said, my wife will take me home. My wife went like this and backed up and said, I'm not taking you anywhere. I said to that man, sir, if you don't care, go ahead and take me to the hospital. I couldn't walk. Couldn't do anything on my own. You know what I found out in the back of that ambulance? That man was in a storm. His family was under attack. He was fixing to lose his wife and his children. You say, preacher, what in the world was you talking to him about? How many knows? There are such things as divine appointments. And some of them are in the middle of the sea, in the fourth watch of the night, when the waves are over your head, and God's still up to something. I wonder, in Houston, Texas, how many people have been blessed to meet a man by the name of Brian Odell, to meet a lady by the name of Kim Odell. I'm telling you, the storms don't make any sense to me. But I'm telling you, if we get a hold of this, of the truth, thou art the Son of God. God wants us to magnify Him. Not magnify the storm, but magnify the Savior. Got out of the hospital, Brother Thurman. I had insurance. Was it $11,000, Miss Eve? We owed $11,000. Now, I understand God's been good to people, and to some people, $11,000 might not be much at all. But to us, it was a lot. I sat down at the dining room table to do a prayer letter, Brother Steve, and I started to tell people about the wreck, and I started to tell them about the need. The Spirit of God stopped me. He said, don't you think I know what you need? He said, you talk to me. I'll talk to them. And I never mentioned it. And the last time a person came and brought a gift, it was paid off in 3 months. The last time somebody, I said, brother, the need has been met. He said, I don't care. God said to give this to you. In other words, sometimes God just gives handfuls of purpose. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Never known without the storm. The power of God being manifest in this storm, in your storm, in my storm, ought to cause us to say, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. There's people sitting here in this building tonight, and I'm not going to start naming names, but been through some things. And the only reason you're sitting here tonight is because of a truth. He's the Son of God. He didn't give up on you, and you didn't give up on Him. Even though, if we'd be honest, there was times when we felt like, what's the use? I can't put one foot in front of another. Then just stand still and watch God move. When you can't even speak a prayer, the Word of God said the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. I say tonight, what a Savior. Of a truth, He is the Son of God. Still speaking to hearts. We listen to the devil, he'll say, well, this is to destroy you. If we'll listen to the Savior, he'll say, this is to develop you. I've never buried 10 children like Job did. If Job would listen to the devil, you wouldn't have Job 42. Help me tonight. Where the Bible said, God blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning. Because he was the man that said, well, think about this, Brother Ralph. He said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let me rephrase that. Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. He was knowing in his heart, my circumstances have changed drastically, but my God is still on the throne. My God is still in control. I'm just glad you come tonight. If you can, get it on your heart and your mind this week. The Spirit of truth. Of a truth. He is the Son of God. If you can get it on your mind that God wants to use us. You remember the book of Revelation said, I believe it was chapter 22 over there at the very end. And the Spirit and the, somebody tell me the next word. The Spirit and the Bride say come. And let him that heareth say come. And let him that is athirst come and drink of the water of life freely. If we just get up in the morning and say, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Help me today, Lord, to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and say to the multitude, come. Say to the individual like Peter, come. Jesus said, come. May our lives tonight, like John the Baptist, be spent saying with our actions and our words of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Let's bow our heads for prayer tonight. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to be here in the house of God. I pray that, Lord, we would be so thankful for the provision that you've given us, that you would help us, our Lord. Help us along the way not to forget where our blessings come from, not to leave our first love. Lord, as the song said in the choir, I believe the second song, may it be sweeter. May his love for us and our love for him grow sweeter each day. Our heads are bowed tonight, our eyes are